I want to take a moment to tell you a little bit about my dad. When I was little, when I was born, he was serving some churches in Missouri and Arkansas, and we lived in Arkansas and then Oklahoma. I have told the story before about always wanting to live at camp or be able to go to camp when I wasn't old enough. And it was when I was in the third grade that my dad came home one day and said, "You know what? We're going to move to camp." And we lived there all through my high school. He served in churches when I was growing up, and then he served the greater church as the administrator of Central Christian Camp and Conference Center. And since he's retired, he's been more busy than he was when he was working, I think. He's volunteered on a lot of different boards in the community, helping youth at a home in Guthrie, where mom and dad live. And he's volunteered with the American Red Cross. And while what he's telling us is not strictly speaking a parable, we're talking about the parables of Jesus, there's something parabolic about the story that he's going to share with you. And so I'll invite him to preach in a minute, but first I want to share in this scripture. Would you read it with me, please, on the screen? Matthew 14, 13 to 21. "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' And Jesus said to them, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' They replied, 'We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left of the broken pieces." It was 12 baskets full. I didn't have 12 baskets this morning, did I? "And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children." That could have easily been 10,000 people. The Word of God for the people of God. We're going to sing "Spirit of the Living God" as we prepare for our message this morning. Join with us.
I am astounded at the number of you here. When the preacher's not in the pulpit, and when it's the 4th of July weekend, I figured that was too much against it. But I appreciate your being here. I appreciate also the crowd that came to send off the kids to the mission. It was fantastic, and we prayed for them and sent them on their way, and it was marvelous. I want to tell you that a lot of young preachers now are wandering all over giving their sermons. They're out in the center, they're down the aisle.
Are you referring to me?
I want to give you a chance. I could do that. But if I get away from my notes, the sermon is going to last another 15 to 20 minutes. So I'll let you vote. Do you want me to stand here in the pulpit or walk up and down the aisle? The scripture that was read this morning didn't include who provided that bread and fish. It was a little boy. And I've heard a lot of thoughts about the feeding of the 5,000. The first is that it wasn't really a miracle at all. People naturally took a snack with them. They knew they were going to be away from their home for some time because they walked all the way around the lake and were there quite a distance from their homes. The food was there all the time, so the argument goes, and they were embarrassed when the little boy was willing to share his food. So they shared theirs, and there were leftovers. And then there's the understanding that the feeding of the 5,000 is a miracle. Jesus, in fact, took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blessed them. And by the power of God, increased it so that there was even more left over. Before we look at it as a miracle, I want to look more closely at the thought that it wasn't a miracle at all. When we were serving Highland Drive Christian Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, there was a tornado. In fact, we found out later there were 2 chain tornadoes running together. 26 people were killed, and over 300 were injured, many very severely. We were 60 miles from Memphis. It was around 10 o'clock, and there was no news from the pretty young lady giving the weather that there was any danger whatsoever. The new homes that were built on concrete slabs south of our church were swept clean. There was no debris left and no cars. Some people never found their cars. And in the middle of Tennessee were check stubs from Jonesboro. It was a massive tornado. This was my very first experience with a disaster. Jonesboro, as you may know, is a college town, now a university town. It went on its life, as most communities do. They lived with one another. They were neighbors. They went on their way doing their own business. People pretty much doing what they wanted. But the town, I'll tell you, was transformed by this tornado into a people who cared about their neighbors. And there were many touching moments of persons serving one another, and it became the norm. As a young pastor, the Ministerial Alliance was serving wherever we could. I was at the hospital earlier, and they asked me, after they had to move the morgue to another building, to go over there and be at the area where all of the bodies were. And I tell you, those small containers with little babies started appearing, and it was hard to live with it. I was campus minister as well as pastor, and the college students, especially the guys, started in right after that tornado and went into that area to find the survivors. They worked for 36 hours without sleep. I don't think they were fed except casually. At midnight, it started to slow down, and we thought we were through. But those were the people that could yell, could talk, could move. The people that were under debris and in other locations could not, and we began to find them. The hospital was overwhelmed. We started taking people to three Memphis hospitals in whatever cars, any kind of vehicle that we could find where they could lay down. 300. The reality was that that community was transformed in one moment to people who dropped what they were doing and cared. There seems to be nothing within us. There seems to be something in us that calls forth the best in us in a time of crisis and in a time of great need. So I don't discount that the actions of a little boy willing to share his lunch, embarrassed and touched the hearts of some selfish people and made them share their meal. I've watched it time and time again, not only in Jonesboro, but when I began to serve as disaster chair of our Logan County Red Cross, we had many disasters, and I've seen the hearts of selfish people change to giving folks who sacrificed their time and their talents, their possessions, everything they had to serve. I did serve with the American Red Cross Disaster Services from the late 70s. In 1983, I led the Red Cross response for a great flood in Guthrie. It was announced in Europe on Armed Forces Radio that 2,000 of our homes were underwater. We had not that many homes underwater. We had about 60. But the word had gotten out as far away as California. We received a station wagon full of clothing. We had a three-story empty store full of clothing. And the people, of course, that were flooded out, most of them came out with just the clothes on their backs. But the response of people was fantastic. I'm sure you're aware of the Oklahoma City bombing. There arose what they call the Oklahoma standard. I call it Jesus standard, which played out in many ways. One example was the dogs that they were using to recover the bodies. They were cutting their feet on glass. And in the evening news, they sent out a request for dog booties. And from a factory in Michigan, they somehow arrived the next morning. Whatever we asked for, it was there immediately. The disaster brought us together like nothing else we'd experienced. The love and caring, an absolutely wonderful experience that we shared with people who were waiting to find out if their loved one was dead or alive, was identified. Wes Leonard was a 16-year-old basketball player from a high school in Michigan. He shot the winning goal in a high school basketball game, and minutes later, he dropped dead from a heart problem that they discovered he had since birth. Question rose whether they should play their next game. They decided that Wes would have wanted them to play that game. Hope College offered their gymnasium for the game because neither high school had enough room for the expected crowd. The townspeople ate together in a meal before the game, and when the opposing team came out, they had on t-shirts honoring Wes. Wes's team won, but instead of the usual shaking of hands, they hugged one another. There is something innate in us, and we who are Christians are called to have that inner caring and strength. There is something within us that wants to serve. So, I say to you, the good that can come out of disasters we've seen time and time again, and we shouldn't discount it. Now let's look at the feeding of the 5,000 as a miracle. That means that somehow, by the power of God Almighty, those loaves and fishes grew so they could feed 5,000 persons, believe it or not. It's an experience that logic cannot explain, but it can happen. And it happened in my presence in a small community near DeLand, Florida. When I retired from the camp, I was able finally to go to national disasters. And I was called to Florida and Alabama after the hurricanes there. I was assigned to an American Red Cross feeding program. We had a Southern Baptist kitchen doing the cooking, and we served many at the church where we were located. We had 12 IRVs. These are emergency response vehicles, the vans with the Red Cross symbol on them. We delivered meals to the surrounding communities. County commissioners knew where the greatest needs were, and they directed us. One day, we went to a community of transient workers. I could not find one person that knew English. but they knew the Red Cross, and they were hungry. We were to serve 2,500 at noon and stay in place and serve another 2,500 in the evening. Another IRV was to bring out our food. And you who have some idea of serving large crowds, in the Southern Baptist kitchen, they had certain size scoops, and the portion controls were serious business. So that when you're serving 2,500, you've got to make sure that you have enough food. We had Cambros full of food everywhere, but we were to serve 2,500, and we did. There was no food left at noon. There was some peach juice. We had cold, ice-cold peaches. These people hadn't seen anything but hot summer days. So I grabbed a bunch of cups, and we gave these out to the children. And you've never seen such delight. So there was not even any juice left. It scraped us out. We were ready for supper when the IRV arrived with our food, and we began to serve. We have clam shells, we call them. They're the to-go boxes in your restaurants. Used to be doggy bags. We were lying then. They knew we weren't saving that for the dog. But we filled those, and in some cases a family of five would be getting the whole family some, and we would stack them up and give them out. We finished 2,500, and there was still a line of people there. And we continued to serve. There was enough food for 500 more people. When we got back to the Southern Baptist kitchen, and we're talking some pretty conservative people, I said, "How did this happen?" And they had no idea, because they used the portion control size dippers, and we used the same. But somehow, by the grace of God, by a miracle from God, we had enough to serve 500 more people, and the last person got the bottom of the Cambros. We scraped them clean. So I don't have any problem believing that Jesus fed the 5,000 from a basket, from a few loaves and fishes, and fed everyone till they were satisfied and had food left over. I wish that you could experience such a thing. But I wanted to take an opportunity to tell you about my experience so you could begin to understand the possibilities of feeding 5,000 people, or in our case, 5,500, from food that was to serve 5,000. Let us pray. Eternal God, we pray for mercy in the number of disasters that have come to us all over the world. But we also thank you for the fact that the best seems to come out in us when there is a great need. We who are Christians know why we respond that way, because you called us to give of ourselves to a neighbor in trouble. So use us in our lives. Whatever years we have left, we know you can use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.